This is Afternoon Programming with L.
Boy, I tell you, this is going to be a tough one. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 5 of Afternoon Programming. I am your host, the one and only L here. Hi, how you doing? What's going on, everybody? You know, it's interesting. I never know half of the time. Let me not say half, maybe like 80% of the time. I don't know what I'm doing as far as like with these episodes, maybe in life or some, you know, sometimes I always feel like I there are moments where I have like a sense of direction and I kind of feel like I know where I'm going, or at least where I'd like to go. But yeah, right now I don't know where where this is going to go. But I mean, hey, isn't that life, you know? Just, it's all about the journey. And but every now and then it's nice to have GPS to know where you're going. But that's, you know, that's like a thing that I've always had about my life, where one big thing about me is that I love being in control. I love control. Not more so control over people, but more so control over myself and where I want to steer like my career or, you know, go in life. It's really interesting. And it's one thing that I'm kind of learning even to this day, for the 32 years that I've been on this earth. I'm trying to learn how to let that thing go, you know, as I like to say in the South, let that thing go. It's very funny. Control is a very interesting thing. Because the minute, like when you're somebody like myself, when certain things don't go the way that you feel that they should go, you kind of get into this like panic, not necessarily panic, but sort of like you get in this discomfort. And it's so interesting that that's like the reaction that happens. I admire people who, you know, who don't have what I have. And are kind of like, okay, whatever it is, what it is. And don't get me wrong, I have my moments where like sometimes I'll go with the flow and I'll just go along with, you know, the way that things are going. But I think like 90% of the time, I like to be in control. I like to steer certain things in a certain way. And I know I'm just jumping into something randomly, but that's just what I'm feeling like today. But like, I'll give you some examples of like the type of control that I like. Like I like, if I'm ever going somewhere, like meeting up with a group of friends, I never really want to ride with people. I always want to be the one that drives there, because if I drive there, drive to wherever we're going, then I have the ability to leave whenever I want to leave, versus being at the mercy of like friends, or being at the mercy of having to wait on someone else. Like when I'm ready to go home, I'm ready to go home. And something like that. Or, you know, let's say like, you know, you plan your day out and then something happens that changes those plans or alters them. Sometimes I get into like this little panic. It's very interesting. And I think it's because what I'm trying to do is avoid feeling a certain type of way that maybe I felt in the past. And that probably has to stem from like my childhood and stuff like that. And then also trying to like just feel like I know what's right, you know, when, you know, half of the time I'm probably not even right, but whatever. What was I going to say? Control. It's very interesting. And so now like I'm in this point in my life where I'm trying to let things go and just slowly kind of like make a list with myself for like the things that I want to accomplish in a day or work towards, you know? So like today, one of the things that I wanted to do, of course, was do this podcast, do this episode. Because I was like, well, you know, it releases every Wednesday, so you always record it on a Tuesday. And the way, in order for you to get that done, is you have to do it today, you know, versus like doing it on Wednesday, because then you don't want to feel rushed or anything. But I'm learning, you know, I'm trying to get better, and I'm trying to go with the flow, and then, you know, control what I can control and be okay with the things that I can't, you know. Because sometimes, man, life will test you. Life will test you, and life will see if, like, you know, you could feel like you've gotten to a better place of handling certain things, and life will test you to see whether or not that's true. And it's up to you to see if, you know, and you're going to figure out whether or not, you have grown or anything like that. I'm still far from it, but hey, that's fine. You know, the first, what is the first step is admitting. I don't necessarily have a problem, or at least I don't think I do, but I'm just trying to get better at something just because, you know, one of these days, you know, I mean, like I want to have kids and I can't, and I don't want to control my kids. Like, I don't want them to feel like they have to do certain things that I say, but I want them to be able to do what they want to do, but then also teach them that sometimes life is going to play out in a certain way that they might not have expected. And it's learning how to adapt with that, you know? But yeah, it's so interesting. Speaking about like my past, it's so wild. Let me tell you something that happened to me recently. So interesting. Anyway, if you're just not tuning in or if you skip forward, this is episode 5 of the Afternoon Programming Podcast. Real quick, thanks to everybody who was on the previous 2 episodes. Thank you to my partner, P the Fairy. And then, of course, my best friend, DJ T-Rose, man. It's always good to talk to people, even though most of the time I have a love-hate thing for humans. it makes me sound like an alien. No, I have a love-hate thing for people. Like, I love being around people sometimes, but then most of the time I don't enjoy being around other people. Or let me say, I don't like interacting with people. Because I'm very introverted, and I'm very like, I want to be in my own space. I want to be in my own little fantasy world in my head. And I want to just be able to like think of the things that I want to think of. And I don't want to have this human interaction where I put on a face, or like I put on or I act interested, you know. And so I don't know whether that's a good or bad thing. I don't think it's either or. I think it's just who I am. And yeah. And so like every now and then, though, there are people that I do enjoy being around, and I do enjoy having a conversation. And like, you know, if we all have that thing, whether it be a partner or friends or a group of friends or coworkers or just whatever, there are people that kind of like light us up in a way, you know. And so the two previous episodes were like very interesting. And so because they're like, that's my partner and I enjoy being around my partner, and then like my best friend and I enjoy talking to my best friend. And so it's good to like have conversations from people, who that you're close to. But, anyway, episode 5, I'm going to keep saying that throughout the episode to see, for everybody who, tunes in, like I said, control, it's very interesting. Oh, that's what I wanted to talk about. So like, I was recently talking to my father, mi padre, that's how you say that in Spanish. And it's very interesting. So like I'm actually about to head out. Maybe I shouldn't say that. Maybe. Okay. No. Okay. So I'm going to go on a trip here soon where I'm going to go see my dad, who actually lives in Chicago. And he moved there a long time ago, back when I was young. And that's where he lives now. And he worked. It's so interesting because my relationship with my father is like not the best, not where I want it to be, but it's like, you know, we have like I know he's my dad and I love him and everything like that, but it's almost, he feels like a friend just because he wasn't really in my life as much as I wanted him to be. But nonetheless, it's very interesting. So we had like this, there was this like talk, like, you know, those talks that you dread sometimes in life where like it's like, you know, you not necessarily issue, but how do I say this? Like, my father remembers our past differently than what I remember. Let's say it like that. And when, I advised him, it's so funny, I'm talking like I'm doing a business deal. I advised my client not to do this, but instead to do that. No, but, when I was talking to him and he was denying certain things like that happened, it's very interesting, his reaction. Like, I think this is one of the few times that, like, I think I saw my dad be, like, open and, or maybe open isn't the right, like, get emotional. I think that's the better choice of words. And it's very interesting because, in, like, therapy and everything, it's like, one thing that we always forget is that our parents are people too, you know? They were people before they became our mom and dad, and they still are. They still are. It's just, you know, when we're growing up, we kind of remember our parents as they're our superheroes, or we don't like these people, you know, but at the end of the day, like, they are their own individual selves and they have a history that came before you, you know? And it's so interesting because, like, this is, like, the first time I talking to him about the past, he got, like, a little emotional. And it was very interesting to see him in that way because I don't think I've ever seen my father that way. And so I think, or if I have, it's been a very long time. And seeing him very, like, emotional and everything and just get sort of choked up in certain moments when we talked about our past, I don't know. It's almost like I saw him be human, you know? I saw him, like, I saw, like, who he was, you know? Because I kind of feel like sometimes parents put on this face of, I am your mother, I am your father, you know? And they put on this face to sort of, like, because I guess maybe they realize in a child's eyes, like, where they're the child's world, you know? That's all they know growing up. And then, you know, you see them in a certain light. But then when you see them be human, you're like, whoa. It's kind of like, you remember it being in school. And like, if you ever accidentally ran into a teacher outside of school that was kind of weird to you, you're like, oh, shit, what are you doing here? I only see you in class. Like, I thought you slept and ate in the classroom. But it's so interesting. And, you know, we talked a little bit and, you know, we agreed to disagree on certain parts. But like I used to dread that conversation and I used to dread that conversation because I guess of how much, how emotional it made me feel. And, I used to dread it because I think, sometimes I avoid confrontation sometimes because it feels, painful isn't the right word. That seems also dramatic. I dread it. I don't know how else to say it. But then in having that conversation, it's almost as if like all of that went away when I was talking about it. And I almost felt like a grown up, like, like I think my dad would say certain things and then out of nowhere, I'd be like, hold on. That's not how it happened. Like, you know, that's not how I remember it, you know? And it's like almost I became a superhero in a way. And like, then my dad kind of became, he became a child, metaphorically speaking. And so like it was real wild. And I think for like a day or two it stayed with me, sort of like seeing him like that. And it was like, I don't want to say like eye-opening, but it was like, it was just interesting. It showed a different side that I had never seen, or I haven't seen it in a very long time. And so it's real interesting. But you know, it's crazy that like, you know, we kind of go through life thinking we're right, you know, most of the time. Like, everything we're doing in life is right. We know what's right. You know, if anybody's, like, doing the opposite of that, sometimes we get lost in this thing of, like, they're doing the wrong thing. But then really, when you think about it, a lot of the times, some people would say that maybe it's not more so of people doing the right or wrong thing. People are just doing things, you know, and it's just that we're attaching these morals or codes of ethics to life that we carry out. And if nobody else does it like that, then we're like, oh, you're not living the right way. And so it's very interesting. I don't know if, I felt like I went too heavy in the beginning, but it's okay. I appreciate everybody that's joining. And if you don't know, for those listening, I'm starting to like record myself talking to this camera that I'm pointing at right now, if you're watching it in video. But, yeah, I just wanted to show my face more just because I think I need to get out of my comfort zone just a little bit. I still want to be comfortable, but I'm sort of like dipping my toe in the water of like showing my face. Hi, this is what I look like. Some people don't know what I look like. And I used to think that was like really cool in a way. Kind of there goes back to superhero thing where I was like, no, you're never going to know my true identity. You're just going to know me as my alter ego. Like, it's very like nerdy thing of me to think, but like, you know, oh, I'm that mysterious guy type of, but no, this is me. Like I'm being my authentic self. I'm just being L, you know, for those who know me, know how I am and know how I act, you know, truly. And so it's so interesting. Oh, that's another thing that I wanted to touch on as we continue on. A little something more lighthearted. Something really dope, man. For those of who don't know, so when I first moved to Atlanta, I was shooting a lot of videos. And I was doing music, which I still am. And I don't do videos as much anymore just because I got burnt out, and it was like a whole different like creative process, and it's just a lot to carry when you're one person. And but one thing that happened before I moved to Atlanta, which was like 5 years ago, I decided that I wanted to get into photography, right? And I used to be, I'm still inspired. One of the photographers that I looked up to was this guy. If you don't know him, his name is Evan Raft, if I remember right. Evan Raft, he's a street photographer and super dope, man. Amazing, talented. And I like ran across his page and I was like, I kind of want to be like this, you know, shooting nature, shooting the city, capturing things. And there were other people who kind of also captured like concert stuff. And I loved music and I still love music. And I was like, I want to be like this combination of things, since let me find my way. And so one thing led to another. Years go by, I'm doing photos or whatever. Eventually, I start to like really accomplish a lot of things. Like I went on tour with Big Crit. Shout out to Big Crit, man. Much love to him. And that was an experience. I was shooting festivals and concerts and doing all these crazy things. So along the way, after being Big Crit's photographer, being Big Crit's photographer for the Heavy is the Crown tour, shout out to my homie Kerosene, DJ Kerosene. He linked me with Westside Gunn. Now, this was like some years ago. I want to say 2 or 3 years ago. I think it was like that long. I might be putting an extra year or two on there. But anyway, that's not what's important. So I linked up with Kerosene and Westside Gunn, and he was looking for somebody to shoot a cover for him for his project. At the time, that project was Supreme Blientel. Now, Westside Gunn, for those who don't listen to Westside Gunn, he's very like grimy, boom bap, like soulful. Not sing. Well, he'd be singing sometimes, but like he's mostly a rapper. He's from the streets, from Buffalo, New York. You know, very rough area. Grew up in a, you know, rough time. And anyway, I didn't realize how big that cover was going to be. Right. So shot the cover, came out amazing. I was like, wow, this is a classic. And still cool to this day. Then after that, he brought me back to shoot. He has a series called, it's funny. I always laugh when I hear it. It's Hitler Wears Hermes. And I shot, I think, number 6 or 7. I can't remember. Anyway, I shot that. And then recently, actually, he dropped it like some days ago, but I shot his new cover for his next project that he's actually dropping this week. Comes out on midnight at Thursday, or if not Friday. Hitler Wears Hermes 8, I want to say. I think that's what it is. I could be wrong. Let me see. Hold on. I can double check this in real time. Yeah. So, Hitler Wears Hermes 8. And, man, the cover came out amazing. But I say all that to say, man, it's so crazy because I went through so much. And like, when I first started, man, like I had this confidence. Like I was so confident in my skill, in my talents, in my gift, you know, and went through so much stuff. And then I kind of became a shell of my former self, where I wasn't as confident anymore. And it took some time to like process doing therapy, really doing some inner work, man, to like when I shot this recent cover. It's like it almost felt like I was meant to do that, because I remember he was having a conversation about his plans for the next 2 years. He had like a map of like things that are going to happen. And the way that he talked was really interesting, because he talked as if he knew that they were going to happen, not in an arrogant way, but in more so in a confident way. Like this is what's going to happen. Nothing's going to stop this. Like this is how it's going to roll out. And it's so interesting because it felt familiar. And then it wasn't until later till I realized that that's how I used to talk. You know, I used to be so confident in like when I would go to like festivals or something like that. I would be like, there are a lot of talented photographers here that are also capturing the same acts, the same artists, the same, you know, the crowds and everything like that. But there was always this voice in my head that was like, regardless of whether or not they're talented, more talented than me or less talented, I'm going to capture the best photo that anybody's ever seen here. And I'd always say that to me, like it would always like just played in my head. But then somewhere along the way, I lost that. But now it feels like I'm regaining that. It's like, it's almost like somewhere along the way, like I broke into like a million pieces, like a vase or something that falls off the counter. And then now like it took some time to really put those back together. And now it's crazy. It's like I can feel it coming back slowly but surely, you know? And so thank you to West Side Gun for like allowing me to shoot that cover, you know? And so like it was exciting, and it was like something that I felt like was supposed to happen. And yeah, and the cover's like amazing. People love it. And so it's like, it's so wild to think that, I think I was telling P about this. I was telling her, I was like, you know, sometimes I look back at like the stuff that I've accomplished, and to think that somebody from, if you don't know, I'm from Arkansas, and it's not Arkansas, it's Arkansas. but I'm from North Little Rock, Arkansas. And who would have thought that somebody from there would like, you know, do so much stuff, like really like move to Atlanta, you know, 5 years ago and accomplish so much within those 5 years, you know? And so, once again, like I said, thanks to West Side Gun for like allowing me to shoot that photo. Now, like I'm getting back into photography, and I'm doing more of like portraits, more things that I want to do. I used to do events, but I don't do events no more just because they're not as exciting for me anymore. I don't feel creative shooting them no more. I'm debating whether or not I even want to do concert photography. I'm more so stuck on like portraits. I think portraits are very beautiful. But I do feel like maybe I'll test the waters with the concerts here and there. I might go to a show to see if, you know, if I still feel the excitement. And if I don't, then I just won't do it. But I am doing portraits. To plug myself, if you want to book a shoot, go to the 22ndphotography.com. That's the word 22ndphotography.com. And you can book a shoot on there. And so I'm doing that. And so like I'm capturing, I'm just creating more. I feel excited to create in the photography space. And so it's very interesting. That kind of goes to like how life plays out sometimes, you know. It's like I've heard many times where like people will be doing something, life happens, and they put a pause on the thing that they were doing for only then life to like kind of like swing that back around and bring it back, you know, when they're kind of like more prepared, or it just comes back, you know. It's very, very, very interesting. Speaking of that, also, I'm going to do another little shameless plug here. So I also mix podcasts. If you're another podcaster or something like that, if you know somebody, I also offer mixing for podcasting. So I can get it just sounding just right where you need it to be. And so that you can also go to the 22ndphotography.com. And there's also like a section for podcast mixing. And there I offer my services. You can look up. We'll have a Zoom call, talk about what you want to do, and go from there. But anyway, it's so interesting. Kind of, I guess, pivoting off of, pivoting off that West Side Gun cover shoot, because I was inspired by hearing him talk. It's very interesting. I think me and P had a conversation yesterday. We were talking, and she had asked me a question that I never really thought. And I don't know how long this will be, but she asked me a question about, was I inspired by Atlanta, or, you know, did the city inspire me? And it's so interesting because I had never thought about a city inspiring me. Because I was like, Atlanta, does Atlanta inspire me? I don't know if it's Atlanta, maybe more so like the people, you know, or the things that happen in the city. But as far as like the city, I don't know. But then I kind of thought back, and maybe I was inspired by the city because of when I was heavy into like street photography, I would look at like buildings different than what maybe normal people look at. I'm like, oh, that's just a building. I'd be like, okay, but what is it? Like, if I look at it from this angle, it looks more like, I don't know, like a sandwich. I don't know. And so I guess it does inspire me kind of sort of, but like maybe like the structure, but like the city itself, I guess, you know, I guess maybe a better question to ask for myself is like, when you say, does the city inspire you, does that include the people? Because if it includes the people, then of course, yeah, the city of Atlanta inspires me. But I guess maybe I was thinking, this is me. I know we all have those moments where we kind of overthink things, you know, because I was like, does Atlanta inspire you? I'm like, you mean the buildings? Like, I mean, the people inspire me that are here. The interactions that I've had with people in Atlanta inspire me sometimes, you know. Sometimes I'd be like, man, get the fuck out of my face. But that's besides the point. And so it's very interesting where people can you can find inspiration anywhere. That's where I'm getting to. You can find inspiration, man, just damn near anywhere, you know? And it's very interesting to me. And I just thought that was something that, like, to think about, like, some people might find inspiration in a book, and those are literally words written down, you know, or typed down or whatever. Some people find inspiration in social media, in TV, in movies, in looking at a can on the ground. You know, it, you can find inspiration anywhere. And so it's very interesting. But I just, one thing that didn't click was, like, I didn't realize, you know, a city could inspire people. But hey, I guess, you know, that's what they're architects, you know, they're inspired by buildings and things like that. But I don't know, that didn't make no fucking sense. That's hilarious. I think there was, like, one more thing, or should I pause here? It's like, we're at 25 minutes. How about you? What's going on in your life? Oh, that's nice. That's nice. You know, I hope that, you know, oh, that's sad. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I hope whatever you do, you know, gets better, or you continue to be successful. But anyway, to be honest, I think that might be it. Cause I had, like, one more thing, I think, but I don't remember how to elaborate on it. And so, real quick before I go, I want to thank everybody that's been, vibing with Escape in Arizona. That's the, I just dropped a music video for the song featuring Jettison Bombardier and my lovely partner P. She's in the video as, she likes to say, as a video vixen. but the video, came out really great. Thank you for those who have watched, and or streamed the song. Also thank you to everybody that's shown me love on the West Side Gun cover. Like I said, if you want to book a shoot, the 22ndphotography.com is where you go. If you need podcast episodes mixed, go to the 22nd Photography and the podcast mixing section. I offer those services there. Make sure to continue following Afternoon Programming on Instagram. That's the name of the profile. That's where I post all this episode stuff. Follow my It's Easy L, and then also Lmatic. I have, like, so many fucking pages. Sometimes I'll be like, God damn, people are like, you know, but at the same time, I do it so that way I can, like, podcast is over here, photography is right here, music's over here, you know, but versus doing one thing and you just get this, like, smorgasbord of stuff. But anyway, Lmatic, It's Easy L, Afternoon Programming, follow all those. What the fuck? I was about to say something. I guess, no, I think that's it. Thank you to everybody who's been listening and watching or watching and or watching. I'm going to do this more often. It's good to have a talk, you know, every now and then. I appreciate y'all listening. Next week, I'll be back with an episode as well. And yeah, thanks for tuning in. I'll catch y'all on the next one.